You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Hi, this is Brooke. You're listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. I have two very exciting guests with me today. Aisling Camps.
That's right.
And Lila Shannon.
Hey.
I've known Lila since college, so we've known each other for a really long time, and we have a lot of history. And Aisling, I just met you, a year ago?
Yeah, exactly a year ago.
I found her amazing knitwear in the shop in Sag Harbor, and then I got her information and stalked her, and then we met up, and she was really beautiful and cool and kind of lived
up. Stop.
Well, no, you are. yeah, I think you're really beautiful and cool. So you designed my post-wedding brunch amazing knitwear outfit, which was so beautiful, and I'm happy that you were just here today in Sag Harbor so we could talk to you guys together. The first question I want to ask both of you, you guys are both mixed race, right? You're half black and half white.
Yep. There's other stuff there too.
Other stuff mixed in.
Okay. Yeah, pretty much.
A lot of girls that are mixed talk about not being black enough for the black girls, not being white enough for the white girls, and as they're growing up, not being able to find kind of where they fit in. I guess for each of you, did you feel that?
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm from Trinidad, so everyone there, it's an integrated society, more so than the United States, but there still definitely was a little bit of a more subtle segregation between groups of people, and so I always kind of felt a little bit of a misfit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe not as much as I would have if I had been raised here, but yeah, I definitely got a little bit of that, and not feeling beautiful because there wasn't someone who looked exactly like me around, because my mom doesn't look exactly like me, and my aunt doesn't look exactly like me, so yeah.
Totally. I mean, I definitely felt like it was difficult for me to find a place, not only in school, but also my family, because my father was black, and my mom comes from a really large Italian family, and my dad's family was all in the South, and I grew up in the North, in Boston, so I wasn't around my black family a lot. I was constantly around my Italian family, and I even remember feeling like self-conscious around my own family in a strange way, because they were all looked alike, and I would walk down the street with my mom, and I think people would think I was adopted,
right?
So I think
thing happened to my dad is white and my mom's black, and my older brother's a lot darker than me.
Mm-hmm.
So when my older brother was born, my dad was walking around with this little black baby, and they're like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, it was so crazy to kind of feel like I didn't have as much in common with my family as I should have. And so I would look to my brother a lot for comfort in family situations, because he was also mixed, and we were only two black people in the family.
Right.
And then in school I was oh my God, I was so uncomfortable. I had no idea where I fit in. And a lot of it, I mean, Boston is pretty segregated still in a lot of ways, mostly along class and race lines. And I grew up in Brookline, which is very affluent and Jewish and liberal, and it's definitely multicultural, but most of the black kids from my school were bused in, and I grew up in Brookline. So not only did I feel geographically I was kind of separated from my fellow black students, but because of that, I was also kind of culturally separated from them. And then my beautiful Jewish girlfriends were blonde and more juicy, and I was just curvy and didn't fit. I was so awkward.
Did your mom know how to do your hair?
Oh, hell no.
No. Okay.
See, I'm lucky because my mom is black.
You're extremely blessed. Yeah. In our regard, because my mom... Well, okay. She says that it's because I, like, cut a piece of my hair. I don't believe her. She had it, like, all chopped off, and it grew, like, when I was in maybe third or fourth grade, it grew back into an afro. I look back at those pictures, and I feel such shame, because I was just, like, had this, like, puffy fro, that, and bless her, like, she wasn't,
yeah,
she just didn't know what to
trying her best,
do.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I mean, even back then, like, we had, like, maybe a couple of friends who were mixed and, like, had daughters that were of, like, mixed descent, mm-hmm. and their mothers, like, maybe were black, but even, like, back then, I don't think we had, like, the education, the resources, or, like...
And the products.
Or the product.
The products just definitely, when you come about in the last, I would say, maybe 5 to 8 years.
Right? Like, we've seen the come up.
Because when I was growing up, it was this really heavy, greasy stuff that mm-hmm. you would put in black hair. Mm-hmm. And it's only been recently that you get a lighter weight
right.
sort of curl defining creams mm-hmm.
totally.
And whatever. So
yeah, it's
totally
yeah, and
new.
I mean, I used to wear my hair in like twists. So they were almost, you know, more like braids and that sort of mm-hmm. thing because I was terrified to just leave my hair out.
Right,
yeah.
Because it would dry. And,
yeah.
Okay, so growing up, being mixed race, hair was a struggle. What about as you got older and started wearing makeup? Was it difficult to find foundation that matched your skin tone?
No, because I'm so light skin. I'm lucky enough to be able to use, like, you know, like what a dark skin Caucasian woman would be able to use. I'm the same color as, like, you know, an Italian person. I'm pretty pale.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in that way, I was lucky because, like, yeah, everything matched. I just would go for, like, I don't even go for dark. I would always go for, like, medium.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
The medium.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even try to find, like, foundations or skin, yeah, any kind of, like, tinted product that fit my skin. I think I was intimidated by the, like, difficulty it felt like I was mm-hmm. going to experience trying to find the shade that matched.
Right.
And so I didn't even, like, dabble in, like, any kind of foundation until I was in college, to be honest. Mm-hmm. My mom started working as a makeup artist when I was maybe 10 or 11, and she like showed me like a couple of products and would like give me like a MAC compact, but mm-hmm. I still just like didn't ever want to put
yeah.
it on my face. I felt like it just looked not like just unnatural.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, I'm definitely more open to finding products that mm-hmm. match my complexion, but there was still always this same with like the hair care thing. There was this intimidation factor of like, this isn't made for me, like this
right.
isn't made for my skin or like
mm-hmm.
my hair.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of like isolated myself from it
mm-hmm.
instead of experimenting.
Right.
It's really interesting that you have what you said about it's not made for me and for my hair. Shea Moisture, they're running these ads. You guys know the brand Shea Moisture?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're running these ads on YouTube right now, and the whole like campaign tagline is break the aisle. They're saying ethnic hair care is in
yeah.
this like one
mm-hmm.
section, like let's break down the aisles.
Yeah.
But I find that campaign so strange because I'm like, no, like I need the separate section so I
mm-hmm.
know what is created for me.
Mm-hmm.
And their whole campaign is about, you know, why do women looking for black hair care products have to go to this one specific section?
Mm-hmm.
Like let's break down the aisles.
Mm-hmm.
Like let's break the color line in beauty aisles. I feel like,
yeah, I don't think it's necessary just to stop it from being segregated. I think it's more like have more product options,
mm-hmm.
which they are.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that is a major problem anymore. Like I was saying before, there's so much more stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's
mm-hmm.
out there.
Yeah.
And if you go to Ricky's, you can get everything.
Yeah.
Totally.
You know, don't go, you know, if you go to Duane Reade and you get like the little small section for ethnic, whatever.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
There's so many more options to get a range of
mm-hmm.
stuff for different kinds of curls.
Yeah. For me, I was like so excited when I saw that commercial because I was like, yes, like break down the aisle. Like
yeah.
I don't know, like not even every Duane Reade or Walgreens has a black hair section. Like,
true.
Growing up in like Boston, like in suburbia,
mm-hmm.
like there were definitely times where I just like
yeah.
I mean,
no,
there
yeah.
was just no black
nothing.
Section.
Yeah.
So I had like this like thump of pride because
yeah.
I was just like, that is exactly like what I needed when I was like 12
mm-hmm.
was to like know that I could like go into the like regular shampoo section
right.
and find like
right.
moisturizing
right.
shampoo that was like good for curly or like
yes.
kinky
yes.
or like had those like
yes.
inviting words.
And
I guess growing up in Trinidad was totally different. There was always
mm-hmm.
like lots of stuff for brown hair.
Right, all of the like relaxers and perms.
Yeah,
there
was dark and lovely, and I was just having this BO5 stuff. And there was this pink lotion stuff.
Yeah,
what was it?
Luster's Pink Lotion.
Yes, that stuff. Yeah, no, I mean, that stuff was everywhere because, you know, half of Trinidad is African descent, so you'd be silly to not provide that stuff.
Right. Yeah, no, that's very true. I think one of the things that's happening, even amongst white women that have curly hair, there's like this curly hair renaissance where women that have curly hair of all races are being encouraged to wear their hair as it naturally is and not like overheat it and crisp it until
the
it's
diva
no
effect.
Longer. Yeah, the diva cut, diva curl salon. When you guys were growing up, did you get your hair straightened? Did you get, you know, ever relax it with chemicals?
Mm-hmm. I never went like fully chemically relaxed. The closest I ever went to that was post breakup. You know, you always want to change your hair
of
when
course,
you break up with somebody.
Totally.
I ended, you know, my college boyfriend and I have broken up. We were together like 5 years, so I wanted to look different. But I did like a texturizing, so it was like you throw the relaxer in for like 2 minutes as opposed to really just getting it straight. So I did that maybe about 6 years ago, and but it was still curly and big and poofy, just less so.
Yeah.
And I could blow dry it straight. So I wore my hair straight for maybe about 6 months, and then I realized
I can't imagine you with straight hair for some reason.
I look
I
look Dominican. Which is, you know,
just like not a bad thing.
No, no, it's not a bad thing. Actually, I've been mistaken for Indian, Italian, or Dominican when my hair is straight. I look like a different person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've been told I look like my evil, you know, my evil twin sister. yeah, no, it's just kind of strange. But yeah, that's the only time that I did a drastic change for 6 months, and then I realized I'm way too low maintenance for this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't handle the upkeep, and so I just kind of grew it out.
Did you see like a big effect on like the like strength of your
hair? Yeah, it broke a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of it
broke. Texturizers are not good for your hair.
It broke in the front, and so like I kind of ended up cutting a lot of it off because it was actually really, really long and really thick. And I never had a good haircut for it.
Mm-hmm.
Used to have it in the braids before. So
when
I took it out and I relaxed it, that was kind of like my transition to leaving it out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because I just didn't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is a good time to do a PSA to any young girls who haven't done anything to their hair yet. Because I look back, you know, I was looking at my home movies of when I was like 5 and 6 years old and just how long and healthy my hair was before I started doing all of this crap to it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're younger, all you want to do is get highlights, get your hair. You want to do stuff to it. But if you just keep it healthy your whole life, it's going to be way better in the end.
Yeah, you'll have so many more options, girls. When
I know.
You have hair that's, like, strong.
It's so true.
Like, not mad at you.
I was obsessed with just having my hair laid down. I used to call it down hair when I was little. And so I'd beg my mom, like, I want to have down hair. You know, but my hair just sticks straight up, you know, and it gets big.
Oh my god,
poofy.
That's so funny to, like, put a term to it, because I totally relate to that feeling of, like, okay, I know that, like, beautiful is, like, long, and having curly hair that grows, like, out, all I ever wanted was a product that
the
at least, like,
hair.
Made my new.
Yeah.
All I wanted was the down hair. Like, something that, like, held it close to my face and gave me like the effect of like shaking your hair and like having like a head full of like beautiful desirable
exactly
curls,
I think that's why
I used to
like swimming a lot because when I would go swimming my hair would lay down and I'd
kind
of be like, oh, I feel like a mermaid, I look like Ariel, and then it would dry and it would just be a whole different thing.
You mentioned that people mistake you for Indian or Dominican, and I'm sure both of you get this. Do you get sick of people asking you, like, what do people say? Oh,
they say,
what are you?
They say, what are you? And my response is always a homo sapien. That is my response. Like,
I always, I give a lot of attitude if someone, like, doesn't take the hint that I don't want to answer
right.
that question. I always ask, like, a clarifying question. Like, well, what do you mean? Like, where am I from?
Right.
And if they push and they're like, no, like, what are you? And it's... Honestly, it's usually men who are, like, trying to help me that
course.
Ask this question.
Yeah.
Then I just, like, I usually just roll my eyes and be like, I'm American. Like, I'll
right.
dodge it because it's, like, the dumbest question.
It's so silly. And I always wonder, like, do you guys think that women like that question? I mean,
I think it's an icebreaker. I always just say Trinidadian, and so they just think everybody from Trinidad looks like me, which is so not true because even my parents don't look like me.
Right.
But it just kind of, it's an easy way out of the question.
Yeah.
But then they say something.
Nationality.
Yeah, I just say in nationality. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, they sometimes ask really dumb questions. They say stupid things like, well, you're too light to be Trinidadian.
Right.
Like,
it always leads, like, you know, yeah, that is just like the door opening to more ignorant questions.
Yeah. So
yeah.
You just smile and nod,
yeah,
and you just walk away.
I know. I guess, I mean, I feel sort of guilty because I know some, like, a very small percentage of people who ask that question are genuinely curious about, like, I know this from, like, traveling abroad and living abroad. Like, when I lived in Italy, they genuinely just, like, wanted to understand how a person,
right,
like me could, like, look like this.
And speak,
like,
Italian.
And speak Italian.
Right.
And just, like, how, like, where do you,
right,
what are you from? You know,
yes,
like,
yes,
literally, like, I just want to understand. And so in those instances, I realized it's kind of, like, it depends. It's, like, a cultural thing. Like, if you're genuinely curious about, like, the origins of people because you're used to living in a place where everyone looks the same, like, that is a question that's, like, an educational question.
Right.
If you're, like, if you think that, like, asking that question of me in the States is going to somehow, like, lead to, like, you really knowing more about me,
right,
then I feel like you're just not in touch at all with, like, what it means to be an American. Because, like,
right, we're all from
different places.
Right. I know. Whenever you ask somebody who's, like, you know, very stereotypically white, you know, well, where are you from? And they're like, well, I'm American. I'm like, no, you're not Native American. Where are you,
right,
from?
Right,
exactly. You just flip the whole comment on them,
yeah,
and then they get, mm-hmm, reflective and silent, and you just be like, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I'm a mutt. I'm of Spanish, Portuguese, you know, African, slave,
mm-hmm,
from somewhere descent, you know, Indian,
right,
from India,
right,
Carib,
mm-hmm,
blood, which is a Native,
mm-hmm,
South American Indian. You know, I'm mixed with all kinds of,
mm-hmm,
things. So,
mm-hmm,
you know, I just avoid the question because I have to list a long list.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
What I think is interesting is how the rise of multiculturalism has led to all of these discussions about cultural appropriation because,
yeah,
you know, as a designer, I'm sure you run into this all the time. You're inspired by other cultures. You're inspired,
right,
by other ethnicities,
mm-hmm,
and their approach to beauty or fashion. The Kardashians have been slammed for, and I don't know even if it's the Kardashians' fault, but they call their cornrows boxer braids, right?
Oh my God.
And
right,
people are like, this is a black thing, and it's been a black thing for a long time. So now the fact that you're calling it boxer braids, you know, Justin Bieber had dreadlocks. People were really,
right,
upset about that. It's something that's happening more and more, and I think there's something really beautiful about it, that people kind of borrowing culture from each other. As a black woman, am I allowed to wear a kimono robe at home,
right,
because I think it's a beautiful design, or is that cultural appropriation?
I think I don't have a problem with borrowing things. As you said, I'm a designer, so, like, you're always looking to do something different. I think the problem is when black women traditionally would do things like have dreadlocks,
mm-hmm,
and they would be told things like, this is not appropriate for work.
Yes, yes.
Or if you wear your hair natural, you just get, there's like a backlash for it, and you'd be made fun of for having a bigger butt and big,
mm-hmm,
lips and all this stuff. And that's when people get upset, is when white women do exactly the same thing as what black women have been doing for forever and have been ridiculed or shamed,
yes,
for.
Yes, and then they're praised for
and
it.
And then they're praised for,
right,
it for,
yes,
being so original and creative. So as far as I'm concerned, like, you know, if every white girl started rocking, like, you know, black stuff, like, whatever, but just don't make the black girl feel bad for the stuff that she,
mm-hmm,
originally did to start off with,
mm-hmm,
you know? So
yeah, I am guilty of judging, like, a white girl if I see her in cornrows. Like, there's something,
I mean, that
kind of
just
about
looks silly
it
sometimes,
just, like,
but whatever. I mean, if you want, it's a hairstyle, do what you want.
Yeah.
When I was in Tokyo, I saw a girl with cornrows and she looked so unbelievably fly. I was like, yes, that is how you wear cornrows. She was,
yeah,
fully Japanese with, like, big, like, gold hoop earrings and cornrows with, like, her baby hairs gelled
down.
Well,
Japanese culture is really interesting. They're,
yeah,
super fascinated
with
by
black
culture.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my thing is, like, in popular culture, like, in the media, in fashion, when you see, like, blatant forms of cultural appropriation,
right,
like, for example, that, like, Valentino campaign that just, I think it was,
yeah,
like, for spring, summer,
Africa,
that was,
yep,
shot, like,
but they only
use
white models.
They only use white models. In the background, there was, like, African women, like, plucking fruit,
right,
from,
right,
trees,
right,
like, placed as props,
yeah, yeah,
where I'm like, okay,
that's the
I totally,
yeah,
I'm all for, like,
you,
inspiration from different cultures. That is, like, what art is. Mm-hmm. But to then use people as backdrops and like, use the whole, like, origin as a backdrop for your, like, capitalist, like, luxury brand.
And all the, like, subtle black facing.
Yes. Like, that is not okay
to me. You're gonna go take, like, a blonde-haired, blue-eyed chick and, you know, put a ton of bronze on her. Why don't you just... get like a black girl.
Let's talk about that. We have another hour. But okay, so the my dilemma is, like, if it were, let's say, a like a Spanish, or that's not even a good example, like a South American brand, like a Colombian designer who went to Africa and like did the same thing.
Yes.
Like, to me, I actually wouldn't take as much offense to it as it being, like, a European fashion house.
Because
you're in the culture of power. Like,
because they didn't colonize
the history of colonialization.
Exactly. Right. So it's, I really think it depends on the wearer, and that's not fair. But, like, I, like, when Beyonce wears a kimono, I am less offended than when Katy Perry wears a fucking kimono and, like, flies on a dragon across the stage.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
It definitely just depends on, like, who, where
Who the oppressor is and the history. Yeah, history adds a lot of context.
Yeah.
Speaking of Valentino, this is something, Lila, we've spoken about, but it seems like now, more than ever, there are black people being used in high fashion campaigns in a way that's, you know, really nice. And our friend Sarah Jeff posted about this.
Under hashtag Black Girl Magic.
It's Black Girl Magic, but A$AP Rocky was announced as the face of Dior. And our friend Sarah said something to the effect of, you know, we used to be deemed as too urban or street for these luxury brands, like too hood. But now all the brands are cashing in on it. Like, what does everyone think? And it started this, like, kind of active Facebook discussion. Willow is the face of Chanel now. Jaden Smith is the face of Louis Vuitton.
Zoe Kravitz, face of YSL Beauty.
And now she's just done a campaign with Calvin Klein. There are so many black people being used in high fashion now. Do you think it's tokenism? Do you think it's a step in the right direction? What do you guys think about it?
It depends. Like, so my take on A$AP being the face of Dior is, like, finally, like, if he's going to be, he's completely influential in the fashion world and is, like, heralded as one of, like, the most important people today to bridge street fashion to, like, high-end luxury fashion. People have been jacking his style, like, nonstop, left and right, on runways, in street style, in magazines, like, hell yeah, make him the face of Dior, pay him, and, like, let everyone know that, like, wearing cornrows does not necessarily mean that you can't be, like, the flyest fucker out there. You know, like, I'm, like, proud to see him with, like, a Dior, like, logo stamped across his chest, and I feel like it's about time that, like, we start acknowledging black influencers, and not just in hip hop and not just in, like, music, but in fashion, in art, in film. It's like, we've been here, so, like, at least make us the face of it.
But in terms of tokenism, I mean, we were talking a little bit earlier about having mixed girls and, you know, natural hair being, like, a trend, and what happens when it's no longer the trend? Do the girls that look like us disappear? And that's kind of, like, you know, time will tell, you know? We'll see. I guess it's a step in the right direction, because you're just getting a little bit... I mean, I wish when I were younger, I would see more girls looking like me in a magazine. You know, because, like I was saying at the beginning of the podcast, it was just difficult to feel beautiful, because you're not seeing anyone around you, or you're not seeing people in magazines who, you know, they're being considered beautiful, that you could
You're not
getting
any validation.
And I didn't believe that I was beautiful until I was, like, in my mid-20s, and I was just, like, I just accepted, this is what I look like. I'm not going to try to make my hair do this. I'm not going to try to, you know, make my skin look this way, or whatever, you know. I'm just,
and then it's like, as soon as that tide changed, then all of a sudden it's like everywhere, and it's like, it's not only acceptable, it's like the ultimate trend.
It's like, oh, you're so on trend. I had someone say some ridiculous statement to me the other day, being like, yeah, well, you know, you girls, you light skin girls with your big hair, it's just, like, trending right now. I'm like, I've been looking like this for forever.
Ignorant.
Sometimes, you know what I do when people say stuff? Like, I just start asking them questions and let them just dig themselves into a deeper rabbit hole. I don't even get mad. I just sit back and I listen. And I say, I just want to have you listen to what you're saying.
Right. Let's go deeper. It's crazy.
I think it's really interesting to hear, you know, you two who are very beautiful say that there was a time that you didn't feel represented and beautiful, because I think also me personally as a dark-skinned black woman, it seems like there's this narrative in the mainstream media that only light-skinned black women are seen as beautiful, and like rappers talk about red bones. I don't even know what a red bone is. What is
that? It's a reference to Native American.
Oh, God.
Well, in Trinidad, red means light-skinned black.
Yeah.
So I'm a red girl.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess it's different.
And, like,
I
think all of the girls dancing in the backgrounds of all the hip-hop videos always had, like, light skin.
Right.
So it's interesting to hear that even from your perspective growing up with that light skin, you still didn't find your place.
It probably wasn't as bad as if I were a dark-skinned girl. Because, you know, everyone always says, oh, you're so pretty, but you're dark. You know, there's always like that.
Yeah.
Dark is equivalent to being not as attractive.
Yeah.
And there's definitely that colorism that exists in the Caribbean, which is why you have, like, especially in Jamaica, everyone's all bleaching
their skin. Right? I don't understand.
I don't get it.
Is it really prevalent?
Yeah, I mean, not so much in, maybe, I mean, I don't know as much in Trinidad, maybe it is, it does happen, but Jamaica is like a thing, and I mean, have you seen Vice Cartel? He started off like super dark, and now he's lighter than me.
Yeah, he looks crazy. He looks like a zombie.
And the funniest part is that when you do that stuff, you can't bleach your lips.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you have these dark lips with this light skin. And it just looks so wrong.
Well, Azalea Banks has come out recently saying that she is now bleaching and proud to be bleaching.
Mm-hmm.
This may be taking it a step too far, but I think it's an interesting argument. Why are white girls allowed to tan and get darker than they are? And it's not seen as self-hatred for their white skin. Mm-hmm. But black women aren't allowed, or black men, for that matter, are not allowed to bleach their skin to become lighter. I think that it goes back to Lila, what you were saying, that there's a history of oppression and colonialism that cannot be ignored, and there are advantages to having lighter skin.
Yeah, we would have been allowed inside the house. Mm-hmm. We would have been the master's daughters, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, there is, you do get treated differently.
Mm-hmm.
Being lighter than being dark. And this, you just can't not acknowledge that. My, like I said before, my older brother's a lot darker than me. He's darker than my mom. You know, he's the same parents. Mm-hmm. He came out dark. And, I mean, I remember there was this nightclub, you know, again, nodding to the colorism within the Caribbean. And I remember I was able to get into this nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
My brother wasn't.
You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
You know what I mean?
Could it have been, though, because you're a pretty girl and he's a guy?
Yeah, but no.
Maybe they weren't meeting their quota.
He's a pretty
stepping
guy.
Stepping in the bouncer's shoes.
He's
like,
a pretty guy, you know? But, like, it's just...
You saw differences in treatment.
Yeah, I mean, him being a dark-skinned man as opposed to me being a light-skinned female, I get treated totally differently.
Right.
And white women who wear bronzer are... like,
not mistaken,
Yeah, they're not mistaken for anything other than, like, being sun-kissed.
Right.
Like, I think that, I don't know, I'd hate to, like, pass judgment on, like, I don't actually know a black person who's bleaching their skin, so I don't actually understand, like, why you would want to do that. Like, I think, like, melanin is beautiful and, like, healthy-looking and just desirable. So until I meet someone and can truly understand, like, why they would want to do that, I guess I can't really speak for them. But
that's fair.
To me, it could be interpreted as like electing to remove yourself from not only the like aesthetic condition of your people or like mm-hmm. the people who are similar to you, but also trying to alleviate yourself from the societal like class, like anything that else that is like connects you to this group in society.
I think the difference might be is that when a white person is putting on bronzer, it's just like, you know, making them look like they got some sun.
Right?
It's not trying to change the identity. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you talk to, you know, I was watching some interview or something recently, and when these people are, it was when the whole Azealia Banks thing
yes.
came out. A lot of people, when they start lightening their skin, it is with the intention of looking like a different race.
Yes.
You know,
it's not like a,
you know, some people argue like, well, you know, when you're dark skinned and you get like an acne mark, it stays longer. And so you're, you know, lightening your skin just to even stuff out. But that's not really the case. It's like wanting to be a different race.
Mm-hmm.
You get that in Asia and you definitely get it in like a lot in Jamaica.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's the intention of not being you.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's more harmful than just getting some sun, because that's
mm-hmm.
technically could be something that naturally occurs. You get
right.
a little dark in the
yeah.
summer.
But is
yeah.
it like, can we really, okay, sometimes, so like to like flip the argument a little bit, there are a lot of negative things about being black today, like that have, I mean, external to like the pride that we feel, like
mm-hmm.
at all of the like social justice issues
yeah,
I feel
yeah,
like that
yeah.
are like of
mm-hmm.
right now and pertain to our generation, you are have to deal with race and class. So can you blame someone for wanting
to
like
not
want to
be part of that
deal
oppressed
with it?
Race?
Yeah.
yeah. No. Like, yeah.
That's real. That's real. Well, okay. Transitioning to something a little bit lighter.
No pun intended.
Yes. No pun intended. I want to talk to you guys about your relationship to makeup and the products that you love. But before we get into that, I want to talk about this family of jeans. It's called the KRT family of jeans. And those are the genes that determine how much a protein called keratin goes to your body. And these genes dictate your hair, skin, and nails. And
okay.
Lila, we were talking, I've known Lila for how many years? I don't know.
Like eight.
8 years,
yeah.
yes. I've never seen you have a blemish. Your skin, I have not. Your skin always looks amazing. Your nails, they look like they're not real nails, but they are in fact your nails. You know, you have the hair, skin, and nail gene. I think that you have it too.
I went through my acne.
You
phase.
Had it, okay.
Yeah.
So one thing that I want to make sure is communicated is that so many people ask women with beautiful skin and beautiful hair what they do and what products they
mm-hmm.
use,
mm-hmm.
and so much of the way you look has to do with genetics in a way that I feel like that, like beauty magazines and beauty editorials don't acknowledge.
Right.
Right. They're like still trying to sell you something that's
right.
just never gonna get
They're trying,
you.
It's the hope in a jar thing. They're trying
yeah.
to get you to think that if you just use this product enough, you will
you
have skin
different.
Like this.
Right.
And some people are just genetically blessed with beautiful hair, beautiful skin, beautiful nails. And I didn't learn about the gene until maybe like 4 or 5 years ago because I started taking biotin and I was doing all this research about it.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a gene that people have that determines what their hair and skin look like. So
mm-hmm.
with that in mind, you guys both have beautiful skin. what products do you guys, what would you say are your three top ultimate beauty products that you just love?
Okay, I'm really low maintenance, so I buy everything from the drugstore.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing
awesome.
That I nothing
yeah.
that I own is anything that is like hundreds of dollars.
That's good.
So I love my Aveeno stuff.
Okay. What do you use? I use an Aveeno foaming facial cleanser. That's for sensitive skin that I like.
Oh no, I'm talking about like daily moisturizer.
Okay.
So I used to play volleyball when I was in high school every day, and so my
mm-hmm.
mom was like, you know, you're not dark like me, you gotta protect that skin. And so I would, since I was like 16, every day I would put on Aveeno daily moisturizer that has
mm-hmm.
an SPF of 30, I believe,
mm-hmm.
in it. And I've just been using it for forever. So that's something I go to all the time. And then when I was in my mid 20s, I started freaking out about getting older for some silly
you
reason.
That's so sad.
Yeah, I'm like,
no.
You know, I'm like a damn child
yeah.
still, and I'm freaking out about wrinkles. And so, I started using night cream. Same Aveeno stuff.
Okay.
And it just became a habit. I don't know if it made a difference. I don't know if, had I not started using that, if I would look drastically different.
Right.
But that's just something that's part of my routine. Yeah. So Aveeno for daily moisture and night cream.
I'm, as you know, coconut oil fanatic.
Yes,
sitting
love
right
coconut.
In front of me.
I love coconut oil.
It just is the best. I love smelling like a fresh coconut. I use that in my hair, on my body, just basically for everything.
And do you make sure that you get the cold press?
Mm-hmm.
Do you order it online? Do you go to a health food store?
I go to Whole Foods.
Okay.
That's where I get mine. I would say for my hair, I definitely love like argan oil products.
Mm. Yeah, I use
super moisturizing.
I use a Moroccan oil,
Moroccan oil.
Curl defining cream. That I've tried all kinds of stuff, like mixtures and like, you know, all these different curl creams.
Yeah.
But that is, no matter what shampoo, conditioner, or whatever I use, that is like my product that I can't go without.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Moroccan oil curl defining cream.
I need to try that.
Yeah, it's really strong smelling,
mm-hmm.
but I kind of like it.
Yeah.
So it's okay.
I like the smell of. Yeah,
that's
products.
Like my second go-to product.
Nice. Yeah, and then for beauty, as you know, Brooke, I'm like very obsessed with Pat McGrath skin
fetish.
Yes,
you put me on.
I was literally like counting down the days for it to be released, and I'm obsessed with Pat McGrath. I mean, first and foremost, because she's like a successful, like top of her game black woman, like slaying the game, has not been dethroned in the like 30 years.
And never
she's
will
been,
be.
And
never
will
be.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
about this product.
It's so cool. It's basically like, I mean, it's like a stick, and it has on one side it has a slightly tinted like highlighter balm, and then on the other side it has a clear balm. And basically the idea is like, and then there's also like a pigmented powder that you can put on for like a third layer.
Okay.
So
and doesn't
like
that have 24 karat gold in it?
Is that
it has,
real?
It has like real flakes of gold in it, which
wait,
is.
Is this
a highlighter.
It's more makeup.
It's called
Skin
Fetish. Skin
Fetish 003.
Okay. It's amazing.
And it's basically what it does is it highlights or accentuates different like angles on your face. You can put on your collarbones, on your shoulder, and it gives this like completely unreal ethereal glow.
It's beautiful.
Like. I don't ever want to use anything other than
that
on my
stuff.
Body.
It's amazing, unreal.
And I love it because it's not like hiding anything. Like
right.
I feel like
it's
an average woman could put it on. It's just enhancing.
Yeah.
And just dab a little bit on her cheekbones. And all of a sudden you just look like a lot. Like you look like your blood pumping through your body and just totally alive. And I'm obsessed with it because to me it's like.
It's perfect.
It's just revolutionary.
Yeah.
I can't explain how much I love that product.
Yeah.
I will be devastated when mine runs out. I don't know if it's like still out there.
Isn't it crazy that men just don't do any of this?
Oh yeah.
Can you imagine if they started like highlighting
your
cheekbones and then look at my collarbones and you're like, I'm just going to put this in between my pecs.
Right. If I walked into my boyfriend doing that, I would be like,
just making it look like there's more definition.
Yeah, like, you don't need that, bruh.
One of the things that I think is really interesting, and Lila, you work in fashion also, what, like, the relationship between being on trend, which I think you guys are both very, like, on trend, you guys always look, like, really cool, put together great outfits, versus being trendy, right? Being trendy is kind of looked down upon. I remember, was it, like, 2008 or 9? Remember when everything had, like, that really dramatic shoulder? Like, Balmain had all of those jackets.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yes. And with the spikes.
Oh, yeah. All
everything
the studded everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you never want to fall victim to those overt trends that are going to make you look at old pictures of yourself and be like, what was I doing?
Yeah.
But you also want to be on trend and participate in fashion's discourse. How do you guys kind of manage that balance?
Well, I'm lucky. I'm a designer, so I just make everything that I want.
And I can't afford to
shop. So I'm like, okay, which one of my samples am I going to wear today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it keeps it easy.
You just look good because you have like good taste and you like make beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that
is
epitome
good
of like a
key.
Stylish woman.
Oh, God.
That's so fortunate. I wish I could make the things in my head. But I mean, I think sometimes I definitely fall victim to trying to follow a trend that I see, and especially since I work in like merchandising, so I'm like a salesperson in a way. You know, I kind of have to know what's desirable, and I'm convincing other people. Eventually, I convince myself that like, oh wow, like off the shoulder, like I need an off the shoulder.
Off the shoulder has exploded.
I am so
totally
tired of it.
I'm already,
sorry.
I've just seen too much of it. And it looks great, but I'm kind of like, okay, but
But not everyone is everyone. Doing it. That's
so
my
not,
thing. Like,
not every brand needs to have their version of the off-the-shoulder top.
Okay, so I understand from a brand perspective why you would want to offer it, because, like, that's what's selling. But I just, okay, I urge women to understand their body,
mm-hmm.
their personal style, and not
right.
personal style, like, what you put on every day, like, how you carry yourself,
mm-hmm.
and really, like, try to gauge if a trend is going to look good on you.
Right.
Like,
because if you have, like, weak shoulders,
which
you don't want to do that.
Which I see everywhere. I see
yeah.
women, like, exposing their shoulders, which is, like, very, like, it's a very kind of revealing part of your body,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have to show that. Like,
right.
not everyone is blessed with, like, prominent
shoulders.
Collarbones
yeah.
and, like, broad, like, beautiful shoulders. Like, some people would do better to, like, you know, like, accentuate their waistline or
right.
show off their legs. So,
right.
And
okay, I'm such a hypocrite. I totally bought a dress that's off the shoulder last week.
Because it's beautiful. Like, it can be beautiful, but I think where I start to get really fatigued by, like, the trends is when I see people wearing them who just shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And that is not... from a snobby perspective, it's just, like, objectively,
right.
like, do you even feel comfortable? Like, when I see girls wearing, like, black velvet choker necklaces with,
right.
like, their, like, basic, like,
yeah.
dress, I'm like, you just put that on because, like, you saw Bella Hadid wearing it. Like, you're not
yeah.
putting it on because it has anything to do with,
like
your personal
yeah.
style. And, like, that's just, like, the biggest faux pas to me.
Yes.
It's, like... not knowing
blindly
when, yeah,
trends.
When to like,
well, when it becomes,
take something
when
and,
it becomes like a uniform, and
yes,
you go out
right.
and you see not just one person, but like half the club looks exactly like
yeah.
you, then
yeah.
you know
mm-hmm.
that you need to start backing away slowly.
Yeah, that's
that
why I'm burning my Stan Smiths.
Yes,
when
this
I get
is a
home.
Perfect transition
oh,
into the segment of the three trends that need to die. So,
okay.
please give me the three trends that you guys think just
need
to end.
That's my number one. Like,
what?
Stan Smiths, RIP, dude. Like, it's been real.
I like them. I don't have them, but they are, like, the fashion girl. Like, if I see a girl wearing those sneakers, I'm like, oh, you probably work
they were KO'd when I saw, like, a mom wearing them the other day with, like, chino shorts and, like, a basic cardigan.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, goodbye. Like, I
yeah.
almost wanted to, like, throw my shoes
yeah.
in the dumpster right there
yeah.
and then. Just, like, they... I mean, I love them. They served a purpose. I need a new white sneaker. If anyone has any ideas, please call her back. But I can't look at them anymore.
Yeah.
One thing that is driving me absolutely insane lately, okay, so I have very prominent eyebrows and I've always, you know, shaped my brows to like kind of frame my face because I'm hairy and they're there, so I might as well work with it. I think people are going a lot of it, way overboard with the massive...
Yeah.
You're just seeing these massive black things going across their face. And, like, your eyebrows aren't that bushy. You're just putting a ton of, like, eyebrow filler.
Yeah.
And it's going halfway up your forehead. And
you
look like... You
look crazy.
A
it
psychotic person.
If you have hairs, but if it's just, like,
no,
black,
but you could
like,
clearly see the powder.
Yeah, no,
they're, like,
no.
drawing on, you know,
no,
these
yeah.
half-inch thick, you know, caterpillar eyebrows. And they look ridiculous.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree with that. Okay, another thing that's been annoying me lately is athleisure. Like, I dress for comfort.
Controversial.
I love
okay.
being comfortable.
yeah.
Like, anyone who knows me knows that I never will wear anything that is, like, tight or, like,
that's true.
I just
yeah.
prefer
you always
to
look
be comfortable.
Very relaxed and comfortable.
And
yeah.
I love, like, wearing leggings, t-shirt, like, not giving a shit, but I cannot stand when I see somebody
wearing
who
Lululemon.
Is wearing just, like, their athleisure, like, their Lululemon,
yeah.
whatever.
But not to the gym.
But not to the gym.
Yes,
like, with
I
their
agree.
Celine purse, full face of makeup.
I agree. I think it's
like,
really annoying.
It drives me crazy. And it's just because, like, it's the look of privilege. It's like, okay, if you're, like, you know, just going to, like, Serafina, or, like, wherever
yeah.
to,
yeah.
like, brunch and,
yeah.
like, just look like that. Like, you're very blessed. We
yeah.
understand.
Yeah.
Like, you
yeah.
are living the life of
yeah.
luxury.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, if you're not actually,
coming
like,
from the gym,
coming
yeah.
from the gym, you're just doing it just because. It, like, to me, is just kind of, like, it's almost like a smack. Like, it's, like, it's...
Yes.
It's just so privileged.
I think
I don't
it's
know.
Taken it's taken a life of its own when you see women with blowouts and a full face,
yeah.
as you
yeah,
said,
yeah, yeah.
in a workout gear as if they were going to CrossFit class.
Yes,
but you know that they're not
going
ever
shopping.
Going to go. Yeah.
They're like, okay, I can't not deal with that.
Yeah.
I think of another irritating thing. Mine is more like beauty regimen as opposed to fashion.
No, that's cool.
It's the lip thing.
Mm. What about the lips?
Okay, so it's like
the fillers?
I love the matte colored lipstick.
This is my trend that needs to die.
It needs to, the whole, like, okay, especially when you're dark skin and you put on some, like, nude that is not nude for you.
Right.
And you just start looking like Tyrone Biggums, like, ashy lips.
Yes.
You
look
like you're,
dead.
You look like you have ashy lips.
Yeah.
You don't put that, like, and it's just these overly, and then they go and they flit in
outside
of their lip line, and you just have these big ashy lips, and that is just not attractive. And why would you put, like, you know, powder blue lipstick on? That's not gonna
look good. Right, you look like you're dying.
Yeah.
I know, I don't understand that. I mean, I do love, like, a dark matte lip, but, like, the right one, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't, and it's not a day look.
Yeah,
like,
time and place.
Like, get it right.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That said, like, the smoky eye in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any kind of, Okay, I have a social media trend that I think needs
please.
To well, I actually have two. Okay, first one is hashtag squat goals. Like, I don't understand.
No one uses that anymore, do they?
They do. I just don't, like, understand what you mean. Like, you're with your squad, so, like, why is that still a goal? Like, you're showing
it's
off that you're,
high
like, with
school.
Your people.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
why the goals? Like, just squat is fine, but,
because
like, squat
sad
goals.
Sad individuals
with
no
bad.
Sense of individuality.
I know. It makes no sense. And, okay, selfies when girls, like, have their hands and fingers on or near their mouth.
Yes, that's very
the, like, sexy baby look.
Or the pensive.
The pensive, but the, like, look at my, like, nip. Like, I don't know, the Kylie Jenner, like, porn look is...
It is a porn look.
It's super porn.
When your eyes are dead.
Yeah.
Dead eyes, just, like, looking off into space, like, come hither. It's just, I feel like we're just teaching girls that in order to, like, get the likes up, you actually feel like you're...
Yeah.
Very ready to get in bed.
Or you just came.
Like, or just finished.
Yeah.
Feeling good. After sex glow.
Yeah.
Like, please stop.
I would say another one of mine that drives me nuts because I'm a designer is every person who's a celebrity or actress coming out or singer coming out with their own fashion label. That drives me nuts because clearly you have the money to fund it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and so then you and you have like the following to begin with,
mm-hmm.
but then you just see a lot of really shitty clothes
mm-hmm.
getting all this hype.
Right,
sorry, Yeezy, but you know, and it's like, are you serious?
Right,
No, it's not good. You didn't go to fashion school. You don't know the basics
even designing
of
the clothes.
Design.
They're not even the designers.
Well, they hire designers, but
then
they have a vision, which
right.
they think, you know, is worth listening to or following, and they
right.
kind of create this stuff that's just really, really bad, and it gets all this hype, and then
I
get
so
jealous
so
because they don't have
a designer
any skill.
Who, like, works their ass
yeah.
off
yeah.
like you.
Ah, it drives me nuts.
Yeah, like
yeah.
in like major stores.
Yeah, and then they have like the runway show and the this and the that, and it's just like, you know, it kind of just makes me really sad. Like, can I really break
right.
into this market when I'm having to go against these
yeah.
people?
Beyonce
you
know? And Jennifer Lopez and Kanye.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have two last questions for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
When you are going out for the night and you're getting ready. I saw a meme, it was like, how much fun a girl has out is like directly proportional to how much time it takes to get ready, which I think is like very true. Like, I think one of the worst things in the world is when you're rushed to go out for something that you've been looking forward to. And like,
oh,
you
we
don't
know,
have,
Brooke.
Oh, yeah.
You're late for everything.
I literally could spend 2 hours getting ready because I just like to like take my time and like get into like the vibe of the night. So when you guys are getting ready for like a night out, what is your routine? Like, take me through what you guys do to prepare.
The complete opposite.
You're,
I
like,
always
fast.
I always have the craziest nights out when someone's like, hey, I'm at that spot around the corner, you should come. And then I'm like, ugh. God, I'll stop by for like 2 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and
then
I roll out already.
Yeah, I roll out, you know, in some, you know, jeans and like a basic t-shirt or something, and I'm not glammed up. I have no makeup on.
Mm-hmm.
I just show up there, and then I end up not leaving till like 6 a.m.
Yeah,
and then there's photos of me being a complete ass. And I'm like, what the hell?
That's
when
a good night.
When I'm glammed up, it's always a disappointment.
Really?
I guess because like I expect too much of the evening.
Interesting.
And
that's,
so then there's all this pressure.
I could see that. Yeah.
So whenever I'm also somebody who gets ready in like 15 minutes.
I'm very guilty of like changing up until the last minute.
Oh, okay.
And that, and I
so
think
you change a lot before you leave.
I'll usually have, okay, depending on when I find out like where what we're doing,
yeah.
like I might have the whole day to kind of conceptualize
yes.
like what I want my look to
yes.
be, or maybe I'll just have like a couple hours. But like as soon as I start like the pregame, you know, like I'll pour myself a drink, I'll
right.
put the music on,
yes.
and like
music
the music
key.
Might totally take me to
it's a
different
direction.
Place.
I agree.
And then I'll be like, oh, but what about that like metallic lid I wanted to try. So if I've
right.
like had this crazy outfit on, but I'm like, no, I really want to do a
so
beauty look. I'll
that's
like
a question for you.
Change
I'll change my outfit
makeup.
Where
based
do
on
you,
the makeup.
When you're concepting your look, where do you start? Do you start with your hair? Do you start with your makeup? Do you start with a like, I want to wear this top? Do you start
mm-hmm.
with I want to wear this shoe?
I
or
start
do you just
with the shoe because I'm like, am I gonna be a cranky, uncomfortable bitch tonight
yeah.
in really high but beautiful shoes, or
yeah.
am I going to
yeah.
be really comfortable
yeah.
and
mm-hmm.
laid back?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and it usually ends up being
yeah.
the latter.
Yeah.
It depends on the event, because if it's something like formal or like in the city, I live in Queens, so like I'll often
it's
be going out in Queens or like in the Lower
mm-hmm.
East Side. Like
yeah.
I don't do the like glamorous Manhattan thing ever,
yeah.
but if I do have like an
mm-hmm.
event that's like more, you know, formal, I'll definitely like start with the like with the clothes.
The clothes.
But if
yeah.
it's like a party that I'm like, okay, fuck, it's Drake night at Baby's All
Right.
Like
right.
what vibes do I want to be giving off?
Yes, this is okay.
Then I'll usually
oh, like,
it's
if
more
you're,
of
if
feeling.
It starts with
like,
the vibes.
Are you punting tonight?
Well
I'm
not, because I'm
in relationships,
I'm in a serious relationship, but it's more just like who's
it's
gonna
the
be
vibes,
there
yeah.
and like what
right.
kind of music
yeah.
am I gonna be listening to, and like how do I wanna stand out? Do I wanna fit in? Do I wanna like
yes.
redefine the vibe?
Yes.
Like
yes.
So I, there
is,
are all these like psychological
it's,
stuff.
It's,
yeah.
it's a whole psychological
well, I mean,
thing.
I do put a lot, the only time I ever put in a lot of effort into what I'm wearing is if I'm gonna run into an ex.
That's real.
Besides,
that's real.
I need to make this who
that's
yes.
like
just
you
really
regret the
suffer.
Day.
Make him
regret
suffer.
The day that he walked away.
Exactly.
And I want to be on his mind for
that's
the next
yeah.
month and
yeah.
a half.
Yep.
Yeah.
I wrote a piece on my blog called How to Serve, and it was all about what you're saying about how to decide what to wear. And it's like, so obviously, like, this is drag lingo. The drag queens say, like, I'm serving, like, schoolgirl in the 1930s tonight.
Right.
So, but I think that that's how you need to approach getting ready.
Right.
You're like, if you're going to a gallery opening in Chelsea, you're like, I'm going to serve,
right.
like, minimalist black Japanese.
Right.
And then you just find the thing. If you're going to Baby's All
Right,
you're like, I'm going to serve, like, Williamsburg, like,
mm-hmm.
club girl with
right.
some 90s. Like,
right.
I think you have to start with, like, what your final look that you're going to serve is, and then
right.
you work backwards.
And not, yeah, not even the look, just what you're trying to embody
yes.
for the
yes.
night. Yeah,
yes.
it gets that deep for me.
It's
and
that
usually
deep.
I'll get ready in 15,
really think about
but
this,
I'll get
huh?
ready in 15 minutes. It's more just like, how do I want to feel tonight?
The vibe.
Like,
it's all about the vibe.
Yeah, I'm more of a mood dresser, so if
yeah.
I'm like, ugh, I don't feel like doing whatever,
oh,
I'll just,
yeah,
I just throw on whatever. Yeah.
Sometimes
I'm
like
I'm
a t-shirt.
Super bodycon dress.
Yes.
And I would go somewhere that's like a, you know, like a dive bar, but
I decided
that night I just want to look really sexy.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's this is why I love fashion so much. Like to me, it goes so far beyond the label and the clothes. Like it's a performance of identity.
Yeah,
that's why
yeah.
like I was like a stylist, and like what really interests me is like not the clothes, but like how people wear them and who wears them
mm-hmm.
and why they wear them.
Mm-hmm.
And so like it's yeah, just explain. Like I just kind of came to that revelation because like talking about like getting ready as a vibe is just like it's so much deeper than just
absolutely.
Like wearing that like hot
absolutely.
Item
absolutely.
And I like can't I won't ever change
yes yes yes. Last question for you ladies, when do you guys feel most beautiful?
Huh.
I feel most beautiful like
you are very beautiful
like
right now.
Sun-kissed. Like,
yes.
I feel most beautiful when I've, like, been outside and, like, the sun has been on my body
mm-hmm.
and I feel, like, moisturized
mm-hmm.
and oily and, like, I could just put on a white t-shirt and, like, look so flea. Like, that
yeah.
is
yeah.
my, I think, my most beautiful
mm-hmm.
moment. Or the time where I just feel so comfortable.
Yes.
So comfortable in my skin.
Yeah.
God,
that's why
that.
The winter sucks.
yeah, it is harder to feel beautiful, I think, in the winter.
Mm-hmm. Covered in, like, layers.
I don't know. I feel like I gotta get back to you and email you an answer for that one. that's like a deep question. I don't know. I guess it's when I'm feeling loved.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
and that doesn't mean by somebody else.
Yeah, but accepted.
It's like when I feel good about myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, being creative, it's always like an emotional roller coaster. So some days, like, I just wake up and I feel like I am the shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know what it is. It just happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess those are the days when I'm having lots of self-love.
Yeah.
That's right. When I feel the most beautiful. And
yeah.
It has absolutely nothing to do with how I'm actually physically
yeah,
looking
right.
or being dressed. It's like how you feel on the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's confidence.
That's really real. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciated your answers. And yeah, thanks for talking to me.
Thanks for having us.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.